Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Amen. We are so blessed. Praise the Lord. Thank God that we're here for another Sunday morning to hear the Word of God, to be able to worship God. So we're going to get right into this message. We have communion today, which is amazing. So we're believing God for more than just the physical act of taking communion. We're believing for a spiritual act that is, as we're obedient, that we're infilled with God. I want to read a scripture from 2 Corinthians 11:4. The title of our message is Trust in Jesus. You happily put up with anything, whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus, look at that, a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed. So that's from 2 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 4, a different Jesus. I was thinking about that. There's lots of people and lots of religions and lots of churches that have some form of belief in Jesus, but sometimes it's a different Jesus. For example, there's religions that believe in Jesus, but they don't believe he died on the cross. There's religions that believe in Jesus, but they don't believe he was the Son of God. There's religions that don't believe that he was raised from the dead. There's religions that believe in Jesus, but they believe that their Jesus doesn't require any kind of repentance. They don't believe in hell. They believe that everyone will go to heaven. You've seen pictures of Jesus holding a machine gun. What is that? That's a different Jesus than the one that you know of. Other Christians that you may talk to, they may be racist Christians. They may say, I'm a Christian and I'm racist. I was talking to someone not long ago. They were telling me they were a Christian nationalist, and I asked him, what exactly does that mean to you? And he says, they're against immigrants. We're against the immigrants. And I said, well, what should happen to the immigrants? Well, they should be turned away or shot. And I said, are you telling me that your Jesus, if he was here with you, that if you handed him a gun, he would shoot the immigrants as they came across the borders? But there's so many different Jesuses. There's hippie Jesus, right? That he's just from the 60s, flower power. He's not preaching power. He's not preaching repentance. There's counterfeit Jesus. But it's not just Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that's been changed or even completely ignored by churches. There are other gospels. But here's the thing about all the counterfeits. If there's counterfeits, there's real. There is a real Jesus. There is a real church that he died for. There is a real Holy Spirit that is holy. So how do we separate people wanting to create God in their own image? How do we separate people that want to excuse sin but still be under the umbrella of Christianity? How do we clearly see the Jesus that was born in Bethlehem, the Jesus that died on the cross, the Jesus that defeated the enemy, the Jesus that rose from the dead, the Jesus that took his blood to the mercy seat, the Jesus that's coming back for you, the Jesus that's building a heaven for us? How do we separate the real Jesus from the world's many fake Jesuses? And I got to tell you, it's only through looking into the Word of God that you can clearly see who God is and who you are. Without the Word of God being put into your heart and in your eyes on a weekly or a daily basis, I'm going to call it a daily basis, you will forget what you look like. You'll forget what God looks like. And anybody on the radio or TV can tell you about a Jesus that never existed. A Jesus that wouldn't recognize himself. We know the truth. He said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. That is it. There are not other Jesuses. And I got to tell you something. When you look at your life, Jesus and the power of the kingdom of God is the only thing that could ever fix your situation. The only thing that could fix what is broken in your world is the power of God. Now, I'm going to turn this to Pam, but I want to say this. Okay. What if I told you that at the end of your life, you would conclude you had lived a meaningless life? That would disturb all of us. If you told me that at the last day of my life, my conclusion would be, I wasted my entire life. And so what if I told you that you're going to, that 10 years from today, that's, you go, hey, good, 10 years. I'm going to live another 10 years. 10 years from today, that would be your last day. This day, 10 years from now. And you would be in a hospital, and you would be hours away from death. And what if I told you that your conclusion was that you had wasted your life? How sad is that? Because here's the thing. Being a human being is brilliant. We have life and we have an opportunity. And we get to do something. We get to time travel. Let's go back 10 years to today. It's not 10 years from now. Starting today, we need to, with this communion service, you need to pray to God and say, I am a vessel that I am emptying myself of me to say, can you do something with my life? Could you do something with an empty vessel that was emptied of everything and make something of my life? Boy, when Uncle Pete said that he had no regrets for his life, wouldn't that be great to say, I have run my race, instead of saying, I squandered it all?
Amen. I get some time. Trusting Jesus. I've put all of my trust in Jesus. There's no one that can be trusted but Jesus, fully trusted. And that's what we're going to be sharing a lot about today. But I just want to begin by asking you a question I've probably asked multiple times. How can it be that we trust inanimate objects over Jesus? How can it be that you sit down in that chair and not one time have I ever heard you ask that chair, are you sure you can hold me up? Are you positive before I sit down? But you do it week after week, day after day, without questioning, with full trust in an inanimate object, and yet do not trust God when times are hard to uphold you with his right hand. When Psalm 91 says, for he will command his angels even charge over you to protect, defend, and guard you in all your ways so that you don't ever even strike your foot against a stone. That God is so faithful, and we can count on God. Let me tell you, there, I have no fear that God is going to let me down. I believe the chair will fall before God will fail me or cause me to fall or allow me to fall. That's what I believe. I believe that every chair in here will come crashing down and fall and before God will fail or cause me to fall. And how many times has God let you down? The correct answer is zero. None. I didn't ask how many times you felt disappointed in the outcome of your situation, but or that you were disappointed in something that happened, because we do have trouble. But the promises of God, and we're going to talk about trusting in Jesus, that you can trust in Jesus, but sometimes Jesus can't trust in you and I. The promises of God, first of all, are available to all of God's children. But I want to say something that might encourage some of you and might cause some of you concern. The promises of God, this is something you do not want to hear likely, they are conditional. The promises of God, except for when Noah, when he said that he would, God said that I will never flood the earth again, they are conditional. What that means is God's promises are absolutely available to us, but the key to receiving the promises of God is obedience. And someone had asked me why the other day, why do you think our nation is in such trouble? Why do you think, how could this happen? I'm going to read you a verse. I'd like to answer that. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name, that would be us, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now you have the answer to why our nation is in such trouble. If it hasn't just happened yet, if that day comes, things are going to change. But we have to put our full trust in God. And I want to make a couple statements this morning. I want to say a couple things. It's easy to trust God when you're not being harassed or threatened by the enemy or anyone else, right? It's easy to trust God when you're on the outside of the lion's den, right? It's easy to trust God when you know where you're going. Abraham didn't get to know. It's easy to trust God when you have money in the bank to pay those bills, but sometimes you don't. It's easy to trust God to heal you when you're healthy, but sometimes you're not. You're sick sometimes. It's easy to trust God when you have great relationships with your family and friends, but sometimes you don't. It's easy to trust God if you haven't been rejected, but sometimes you are. But trusting God takes great faith. It means that even when you don't know the outcome, and even when you're going through a hard time, you still serve God. Joseph was required to trust God, and he did. Throughout his life, he trusted God in the pit, he trusted God in the prison, and he also trusted God when he got to the palace too. Don't forget, sometimes people, that traps people when you get to the good times, to trust God. We begin to trust ourselves. I'll make that brief. Mary trusted God. When we obey God, it's because we have faith enough to trust God. We trust him enough to do what he says he will do. Am I right? I attend church because the Bible tells me not to forsake the assembling. Why? Why is this important to you, God? I don't know. He has a purpose that I don't understand, right? Why, God, do you command me to tithe and give offering 10%? Are you broke? You need some extra cash up there? What's wrong? Cash flow not going good, God? I trust that God has his reasons and therefore my benefit and my blessing. Why did you tell me to pray for my enemies? Why, God? Why must I trust you with that? Is that some kind of a joke? You know very well what they did to me, and yet you asked me to pray for them. I have to trust God. Why does God say we have to be married to one person, not commit adultery? Why can't we switch? Why, God? I assume you have your reasons. Hard enough to have one person in your life. But can't we trust God with what he tells us to do? And here's my bottom line. If you trust God, you will obey God. And if you obey God, that means that you love God. Trust and obedience equal love. Because the word trust, I've done my homework, comes from the word true. I want to trust God. I want to be real. I feel like that there are too many people that are playing church. They do what they want, when they want, without fully trusting God. And I know this because of their lack of obedience in their life to God's commands. So today we are going to talk some more, Pastor Ken, about trusting God, and I think he is worth trusting.
He is definitely worth trusting. I think we need to take our walk with God very seriously. Yes. You talked about playing church. We can play life where it just becomes such a routine. Since Sunday to Sunday, it's like every week seems like it's a cookie cutter. The only thing changing is whether you're wearing a coat. But we're doing the same things, paying the same bills, going to the same places. But when it comes to our Christianity, you can't mail that in. You know, that has to be real. That has to be vibrant. That has to be alive, and the food you eat has to be real. Definitely, you can't eat plastic fruit. You know, you can watch Netflix all day long. I read yesterday that the average whale is how much is it? I think it's like over 1 million pieces of plastic they eat every day. Obviously, that's bad for the whales, just because we've polluted the waters. But the point is, as Christians, how much plastic are we eating, putting into our minds? If we don't live for God, it's probably because we don't believe it. Maybe we don't completely believe in heaven and hell. Maybe we don't believe in judgment, which is why God, it says that God sits in the heavens and laughs. What he was laughing at in Psalm 2 was the whole world saying there is no God and we're not under God's subjection. If you read that, God's sitting in heaven laughing because the world is saying we're not under God's supervision. I saw these videos which cracked me up, which I've kind of heard about this group for a while. They're called Sovereign Citizens. You ever hear of these people? So this is amusing because the Sovereign Citizen movement believes that they are not under the jurisdiction of the United States in any form or fashion. They can't be arrested because they're sovereign, okay? And so there's several videos of them explaining to the police that they're not under jurisdiction right before they get dragged away. But when you go before the judges, and you can go watch this. Well, you shouldn't waste your time on it, but I just found it amusing. They're going before the judges saying, Judge, I'm not under your supervision. I'm not under your authority. And then the judge will throw them in jail. I have never seen that where they say, I'm not under your authority, and the judge goes, then you're excused. I'm sorry. So I had an ex-client of mine that was, he was an American Indian, and he got arrested for some bad stuff. But I wasn't representing him for this particular thing. And he told me, he said, I've got court next week. He said, I'm going to tell that judge that I'm an Indian and he has no jurisdiction over me whatsoever. And I said, I'll be there. Not to represent him, to watch, because I love that kind of stuff. I wanted to see him tell the judge. It didn't turn out that way. Now, the point of these stories is people say, I don't believe in holiness. I don't believe in sin. I don't believe in judgment. I don't believe in hell. What do you say to that, Ken? I don't say anything, but God sits in heaven and laughs. God's sitting in heaven, and he's laughing at people saying that he doesn't have jurisdiction. The same is true for our blessings. If we want to be blessed of God, we've got to live as a Christian. We've got to obey the Lord. We have to seek the Lord. We have to love the Lord. And we cannot excuse our own sin. We are in this world, but we have got to let the Word of God shape your mind and your thoughts. And the Bible says to renew your mind. So I can't live my life for me. And I've said this before, but I want to say it again, what we need to do. You can't just go to God and say, I want you to use me. Because you are a vessel, right? You're a vessel of God. God can't use you when you're filled with you. Right? It's my water bottle. I had this Gatorade in a water bottle, and I forgot about it. And like 4 weeks later, I opened it, and it was alive. And it was green. Now, I wanted to use that water bottle. Do you think I just poured some water into the green water and said, now I can't say, God, pour the clean water in. Before, I did use that, but I did something first. I completely emptied it, and then I got the hot scalding water because I didn't want to taste mold, but I cleaned it. And we all want God to use us, but God's like, pour yourself out first before I pour in. And you've got to do that. Now, you can ask the Holy Spirit to help you, but you've got to let go of your dreams. What are your dreams? What? And you say, well, I'm not ready to let go of my dreams. All right, I'll see you in 10 years. When are you going to be ready to let go of your dreams? Say, well, you know, I still live in these are my young years. So you're going to give God your old years, but when will that start? We have to empty our dreams, our selfishness, what we want, and say, God, what is it that you want for my life? And how would it please God to see you admitting the truth that without God you're nothing? Without God, you have no future. Without God, you are going to waste your life. But if you said to God, I'm just a broken down vessel, could you use me? I believe that he could, if you would empty yourself. I believe that you and God would do adventures, and it would be an amazing 10 years.
It's so true. And if we trust God, we have to trust him, like I said, in the fiery times of life, in the hard times of life. That's where we're tested, in the furnace of affliction, right? Do I love God? It's not so much a test when you're on the outside of the lion's den. It's definitely a test when you're in the lion's den. And Satan is seeking whom he may devour. Obedience means that we love God, but it means more than that. It means that we trust God to give us what he wants to give us, when he wants to give it to us, not our own plan, not in our own time. And obedience equals blessing. But again, I say it is conditional. And Pastor Ken is right about, I loved when he was talking about the sovereign citizen thing. Dave and I actually knew a guy up in Wisconsin who was a friend of a friend who made lots of money. He made over $1 million in that 1 year, and he called himself a sovereign citizen. So what he did to access his sovereign citizenship was to not pay taxes on the money. And, well, that's the problem. Therewith is the problem, that you do get to go before the judge, and that's where we will be someday if we decide that we will not trust and we will disobey God and his commands. And we don't like to talk about that a lot, but that's the truth. But this goes all the way back to the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 28, 1-7, if you indeed obey, if, again, it's not, it's if, because you do have a choice. Now, if I was writing that, I would have been, and I was God, I would have put, when you obey the Lord God. I would assume we're going to all obey, right? But God gives us a choice. So he doesn't say when you obey. He says, if you indeed obey the Lord your God, and you are careful. You are careful. Hold your feet to the fire to observe all his commandments that I am giving you today. The Lord your God will elevate you above the other nations of the earth, which did happen to America once. All these blessings will come to you in abundance if you obey the Lord your God. If, notice all the ifs, you will be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. Your children will be blessed, as will the produce of your soil, the offspring of your livestock, the calves of your herds, the lambs of your flocks, your basket, your kneading bowl. In the kitchen you'll be blessed. You will be blessed, 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 blessed. You will be blessed when you come in, and you'll be blessed when you go outside of your house too, on the inside and on the outside. The Lord will cause your enemies who attack you. You got some enemies, right? To be struck down in front of you. You're going to see what will happen to them. Just wait. They will attack you from one direction, but they're going to run in seven different directions. But that's if you obey the Lord God. That's not if you disobey the Lord God. Your enemies will not be running from you. They will be running towards you. You will not be blessed in your kitchen. You will wonder where all the food went yesterday, because these are conditional promises. And it is interesting to me that people will blame everyone when something goes wrong. And people will ask me oftentimes in a counseling session, what have I done wrong? What do I need to do differently? And my word is the O word, obey God. Are you obedient to God? Are you robbing God? Well, don't expect to be blessed. Are you forsaking the assembling? You're going to be discouraged all the time, most of the time, every day. And we think that we can disobey God's commands. And here's why people think this. Because I'm getting by with it now. So far, so good. So far, so good. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to. I know. Here's how life works. You plant a garden, and the crop doesn't come up tomorrow, the next day, or the next day, or the next day, or even the next day. But it does come up. Now, that's if you plant good seed, okay? If we don't plant, 12 years from now, you're going to be saying, I'm struggling, I'm struggling, I'm struggling. But if you do plant, it's just like putting a little money aside in the bank. Okay, you don't have that much now, but you keep planning and you keep trusting God, and you will someday, trust me. The same is true with life choices. If I shoot my neighbor, so far, so good, so far, so good. I shot him yesterday. I have not been caught yet. They have not come to my door yet. But eventually, over time, they're going to say, put your hands behind your back. We've done our homework, and you're going to be arrested, and you're going to serve 20 to life. That's just the way. I can prove it to you. Just the other day, did they not find the murder of those two little girls? I mean, it takes some time, the wheels of justice, but let me tell you, you know, we get what we sow. And somebody asked me the question, and I want to address this. So what you're saying, Pastor Pam, is that obedience equals blessing. So it's what I do that matters, so I can earn the blessings of God. Not so fast. No, you can't. Jesus They are available to you because he earned them for you to make them available. They are still conditional blessings. So don't say, well, I did this, so I earned the blessings of God. He earned them for you on the cross. They made them available to you. But in order for you to receive the blessings of God, you must be obedient to the commands of God. Matthew 24:13, the one who remains faithful to the end will be saved. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who has promised. If God has promised you something and you are obedient to God, you don't have one thing to worry about because it's going to happen. You may say, well, look at all these other people in the world. They're so blessed. They got so much money. They got so much stuff. Everything is going good for them. If they are not obedient to God, keep your eye on them. Keep your eye on them. But if they are obedient to God, he will make good on his word. You do not have to worry because God will do all that he has promised to you in Jesus' name.
Well, I'm excited we have communion today. God is a faithful father. Whether you had a good father or not, I had a good father. But God is a faithful and a good father. He's not only a good father, he's a good, good father. I like that song. And he's always good. And he always keeps his word. How do I know that he always keeps his word? Because of the book of Genesis. And God said, let there be light. And I can see light. I can see you. If God's word, since he upholds all things through his word, the first time he tells a lie, the universe will fall apart. The light will blink off. The light can't shine. It's upheld by because he spoke it into existence. It's his word. And if he said, let there be light, and that's still happening. And if he said, Jesus said, I'm coming soon, well, that's going to happen too. As a matter of fact, in the mind of God, it's already happened. It's not a possibility. It won't happen is what I'm saying. The end is coming for every one of us. That's not a doom and gloom message. For those that are not saved, that I guess it is. Yeah, if you're not saved, sorry. But for those of us that are saved, the fact that we're going to transition from this life into the next is something that we should be looking forward. I know I'm looking forward to it. But to have trust issues with God is to just not know his nature. That's why pretty much every single sin in some way has to do with lack of trust of God. You know, I'm going to, and of course, if you have those little patterns where you just take things everywhere you go, you just steal little things. It's like I don't just quite trust God. I have to take this and take that. It's just kind of a habit. But we can't excuse things in our life, not little things like taking little things. Or not big things. I definitely don't want to miss heaven because I took $20 from somebody, right? $20 isn't worth it. You can ask the brothers. He sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. It's not worth it. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? And the answer is no. So what did God say? Well, first of all, he said he loved you. Right? Don't ask me why. He loved you, which means he loves you, which means he hasn't changed his mind, which means he always is going to be for you and not against you. The word also said that you're called. The word said that you're redeemed. Did Jesus call Peter? Yep. Did Jesus call James? Yep. Did Jesus call John? Yep. Did Jesus call you? Yep. You're called. He called you. I don't know if he answered or not. Peter said, I'm going now. He left. I'm going. God is large and in charge. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Boy, if just starting with that, what a foundation. There is a God, and he created everything. You know, you've just gotten enough knowledge that half the world doesn't get because they're foolish. They say there's no God. They say he didn't create anything. So because we trust in him, I want to encourage you to do this. Just live as a Christian every hour of your life. There's no such thing as I'm in church, I'm out of church. You're always in church. All right? You're always in the presence of God. You go to a mountain, you go to the bottom of the ocean, you're always there. You've used the example before. I like these deep diving suits, like these Navy divers. I'm not talking about scuba equipment. I'm talking about where they wear those outer space astronaut outfits and they do those deep, dangerous dives. Do you know that there's two hoses connected to those suits? One hose is for air that comes from above. And the other hose is for communication, so you can talk to above. So just take a guess, because it's a dangerous job and they're in the ocean, and when they're doing those deep dives, how much of that awful salt water do you think the average diver inhales in his lungs on an average dive? And you'd be thinking about it and going, I don't know. The answer is none. He's not taking his helmet off at the bottom of the ocean saying, I think I'll just participate in this environment. It's a deathly environment. He's breathing air from above. That's a picture of you and I. We may be in this world, but we're not supposed to be breathing it in. We're not supposed to be walking around and you will die. But if you've got an air hose with heavenly air, a rushing mighty wind that comes from above that fills you, and you got a voice. You got a voice that you can talk to them, and you can, and as Pam was talking about trusting in the chair, I heard a pilot one time say, he was, the air traffic control said, you need to descend, you need to rise, and the traffic control is telling them what to do with the airplane. And you know what the pilot was saying? Yes, sir. When air traffic control says descend to 3,000 feet, you don't say why. You don't say, could I do it later? And sometimes they'll say, I've had them say this. They'll say, expedite your descent. The word expedite means do it now. So what this pilot was saying is, here's this voice in the air, this invisible voice that's telling him what to do, and he trusts that voice completely. How much more, if we're going to trust the word of man and the word of our doctors and the word of everyone else, how much more should we trust the Holy Spirit and God to trust him? And you can trust him because he proved his love for you because he died for you.
We do live in a very toxic world, a very toxic environment, and there are toxic people even. And we do have to learn to be familiar with the voice, the Holy Spirit, the voice. You'll know who he is. My sheep know my voice, and I know his voice when he's speaking. The voice of the shepherd. You know, I love every time I hear that story told, and it's true that a shepherd in the olden days, he would call, the sheep would all be together in large fields, and each shepherd would go individually, step forward and call his sheep, and those sheep knew the voice of their shepherd. They did not respond to another voice, and that's what we have done in the past. We have responded to a wrong voice, the voice of the world calling us, and we need to familiarize ourselves with the voice of the shepherd. We're going to receive communion in a few minutes, but one of the things for me is that we need to make a decision to trust God, to honor God, love him. And I like this day. I'm glad. This is a good day. This is the day the Lord has made. It's a good day to make a decision, isn't it? It's a good day to make a recommitment, an affirmation of the faith that we possess and that we live. Hopefully we live out. And I love, one of my favorite things is Joshua. When Joshua gathered the people together, like we're all gathered here today, and he told them, he asked them the question, he said, choose this day your career. Choose this day who you're going to marry, right? Choose this day what your profession. No. He said, choose this day who We're not choosing a what or something. We're choosing who you will serve. And why did he say choose? Because there were some choices. And you know what I think is so cool, super, super, super cool? That God actually let it be in the Bible what the choices were. Here's your choices. The God of the Amorites. Think about them. They're up for choice. Jebusites, Edomites, Hittites, Cellulites, whatever they are. Choose what day, choose who you're going to serve. But here's what Joshua said. As for me in my house, really there's only one choice. We will serve the Lord. And I love that because, one of my favorite songs is I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. You know, that comes from me, the story of Lot's wife who turned back, Orpah, who turned back. There's so many people in the Bible who turned back. And you never heard from Orpah again, did you? You never heard from Lot's wife again, did you? When Vashti disobeyed and refused the presence of the king, we never hear from her again. You know what? We're not going to hear from you if you decide to turn back. Soon your name will be forgotten. Agrippa, almost persuaded. Oh, dear God, I don't want that to ever be my story or anyone I know, that he was almost convinced. There's no such thing as almost in God's kingdom. Judas turned his back. His story did not end well. We have to make that decision who we're going to serve. And, you know, I just want to say it. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to choose God, and we're going to choose him every day. And even to be more faithful, if you think, well, I was pretty faithful last year. Well, do more. Do better. Sarah Jake said it best. Do more. You can do more. You can do better. You can give more. You can be more. You can do more things for God this year in the kingdom of God, because with God's help, you're going to increase.
Okay, this will be my last thing, and then we'll begin to transition into communion. If you were writing your life story right now, how many copies of that book do you think would sell? But if you wrote your life story, would you say this is such an exciting book? Everyone's going to want to read this. Or would you say, well, nothing really has happened? What if though? So you got your life up till today, right? So basically, you're saying I did that and nothing really happened. But then you started a new chapter, and you said, and then everything changed. And then everything changed. So my life was dull and uninteresting, but then I came to an altar and I said to God, I've tried to make something of my life. I want you to make something of my life. And I poured myself out. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job trusted in the Lord. The three Hebrew children trusted in the Lord. And we are going to trust in the Lord for communion. So, Pam, I'll let you. Alan's going to come up, brother.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.